For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, December the 26th, 1977, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. This tape is with John Boney, speaking on a new thing.
You know, we were singing the chorus a moment ago, Send the Latter Rain. There's some conditions to that if we want the latter rain. Over in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. There's some conditions for the people of the Lord. And we're gathered together here this week to meet those conditions. That's our purpose. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Bless the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears shall attend to their prayers that is made in this place. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we come this day and this week and to the days to come to humble ourselves before Thee and to pray and to seek Thy face and to thank You for the blood of the Lord Jesus that washes us from sin. Lord, we come to admit that we're a needy and a sinful people, and that we need the blood of the Lord Jesus to wash us and to cleanse us. Lord, we thank You for the provision that You've made. And we come acknowledging, Lord, that we are those people that need that blood to wash us and to cleanse us and to renew us, Lord. Lord, we come asking that You will turn Your face toward this place this week and anoint us with the anointing of the living God, the Shekinah glory of the Lord to flow and to move, to anoint every speaker, Lord, to anoint every song and everyone who takes part, every musician, Lord, everyone who sits in the seats, Lord. We are all one and the same together. Come together to praise and to worship and to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, 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 King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We bless You for Your presence, Lord. We thank You for Your power and glory that flows. And we thank You, Lord, for the Shekinah glory of the living God to move and to flow, that we'll not be able to stand before Thy face, but we'll be fall upon our faces before Thee to glorify Thee. We thank You for it. We praise You, Lord. Lord, we commit every moment of this week unto Thee, that it shall be used to glorify and to praise and to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Bless Your name. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus.
Think not that you've assembled here for frivolity and a good time, for it is that. It is in the Lord. But more than that, we have a work to be done. We have an army to build. You and I are going to fight. Yeah. I've brought you here to equip you, to unite you, to bring you into the full force of the things that are happening right now.
Hallelujah.
Right now. For the enemy would like to discourage us. He would like to put things upon us. But I am greater, saith the Lord. I am much greater, and I have already won. Heed my words. Listen to me. Worship me. learn of me. Do the things which you are instructed this week to do, so that you can become mighty warriors, victorious over all the throes, all of the bombardment of the enemy, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And it shall be, shall hear noise among you. Indeed, it shall be a certain sound, the sounding forth of a trumpet. And indeed, as you hear the voice sounded forth, rally ye together, for the Lord shall fight for you. We ask you unto my people that I would raise up amongst you a people powerful and in might. A people who know the Lord your God, who shall do great exploits. For yea, indeed, I tell you, in this day must every kingdom become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. So stand ye together in the Lord. Be strong. Be like men. And be strong, said the Lord your God. For indeed shall I trumpet in the midst of you, said the Lord your God, and I shall call ye together. So hear ye my voice.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's been a certain sound that the Spirit has already been sounding amongst us. And the sound has been a calling together of His people in a special way. And I somehow sense within my spirit that the Lord just wants to release us so that we can enter into that which He's saying and that which He's doing. I want to tell you this morning that God is doing something in the earth. Amen. God is doing something in the earth. And it's definite. It's as surely as God lives, He's doing something in the earth. And God is moving forward. His plan, His purpose is moving forward. I think that's what's on the heart of the Lord our God to communicate with us. That He's moving forward. And as He's moving forward, He has a word that He's sounding to us. Now, there was a problem with Peter, because Peter followed the Lord afar off. He was following, but following afar off. Ultimately, it came that some things came between Peter and the Lord. He couldn't see Him clearly. Let it be that the Holy Spirit would say to us this morning that we would not follow Him afar off. But we'd follow in the footsteps of the Lord closely. Do you know what the word comforter means? The word comforter, parakletos, one who walks alongside of us. And that's what God is saying. You know, to keep the ranks of the Spirit. Don't lag behind, but you know, march to the beat of God's drum, so to speak. As He keeps the cadence, match with it. You know, there's the heartbeat of God, and you know, there's a certain footstep, a certain march that's coming from the Holy Spirit. He's saying, keep that cadence. Keep following after Him. I think that's what the Lord just wants to share among us. Look at me in Songs of Solomon. Song of Solomon 1. Song of Solomon 1. I want to read the first four verses. It's a song that I've heard sung. I hear sound coming from the mountain. I hear it clear each day. I hear a sound coming from the mountain. It says, prepare ye the way. Prepare ye the way, prepare ye the way. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's the sound that's coming from the mountain of God, even this morning. Hallelujah. You know, if you feel like saying hallelujah, I won't hold you back, huh? Song of Solomon 1, the first four verses. The songs of songs which are Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. I want you to notice particularly verse 4 and the first part of it. Draw me and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We'll be glad and rejoice in thee. We'll remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Amen. Draw me, we will run after thee. I think that's what the Holy Spirit has been saying to us this morning. Let me draw you. I think the Holy Spirit has also been waiting on us to say that to the Father. Dear God, draw us, and we'll run after you. You know, there was a time when, you know, we could walk, so to speak. Take our time, but I don't think this is a time to walk. This is a time to run. Amen. Let us run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Draw me and we will run after thee. That tells me something, that the pace is quickening in the thing God is doing. How many of you know that God is moving ahead? God's not static. God is moving ahead. And just the desire of God is that we move with him. Move ahead with him. I think that there's a problem among God's people. There's some of God's people who have arrived spiritually. There's a kind of a static Christianity. You know, even the type of mentality that is saved and sitting at the bus stop waiting. That type of mentality. Now, I was brought up in a type of background where the popular testimony was, I have one aim and desire, and that is to make heaven my home. I so long to be in heaven. While folks were saying that, they were standing still. I'm not moving with what God was and is doing. There's a further extension of that. Folks who believe that God has said all that he has to say, and God is no more revealing himself. I want to tell you that's pitiable. That's pitiable. I know that God has spoken. But I know that God is speaking. Amen. Amen? Amen? God is speaking. He has not stopped. He is speaking still. I'll tell you also this morning, it's impossible to stand still in God. It's either you're going forward or what? You're going backward. It's impossible to stand still in God. Now, God is moving forward. I want to tell you this morning that you have nothing to look back to. Last night you were singing the song, Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. Well, there's a verse that says, he had sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. That shall never, ever sound retreat. What is the word of God? You know, I praise God that you folks didn't call this here a retreat. It ought to be called an advance. Going forward. That's what he has. He has sounded forth the trumpet. Now, there's a problem among the children of Israel. Big problem. God, by his miracles, deliver them from the Egyptian bondage. And they got into Egypt. Sorry, they left Egypt and they were in the wilderness. And suddenly there came a yearning in their hearts for the things back in Egypt. For the garlics, the onions, the leeks. I tell you this, in one night, God got the children out of Egypt. But it took him about 40 years to get Egypt out of the people. And God is doing the same thing today. I heard a brother say something and it has really stuck in my heart that it's true. We talk about all the possessions of God. All the things that God's word has said. And we know they're true. And we talk about all the promises of God. But God gives to you a promise. Yeah, even of coming into his inheritance. God gives to you a promise, even of maturing in him in a greater measure. But between the promise and the possession of that promise, God gives to you a time of problem. For the children of Israel, the wilderness was the time of problem. And in the time of problem, instead of holding on to the promise of God, they looked back to Egypt. And hence many of them never came into their possession. There's some of you that God has given exceeding great and precious promises. And there was one thing that the word of God said about Joseph. That until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Until the time that his word came to be delivered from prison, he was tried. He was tested. And it's going to be the self-same way with you. The Lord may have given you a precious promise. But until that promise, between the time of that promise and the possession, there is the testing period, the wilderness period. And your inheriting that possession depends upon how you act during the problem period. Amen? So you say, God, why did you do this to me? I thought you promised. Yes, I promised. God has taken you through the wilderness period. And you don't look back to whence you came from. But look forward. Look forward. Forgetting the things which are behind. Reaching forth unto the prize. Now, let me ask you this morning. What is the prize? What is the prize that God has for you? Jesus. Jesus is the prize. You know, it blows my mind that God promised the overcomers that he give unto them the morning star. Who is the bright and morning star? Jesus. That's the promise for you. So this was the problem with the children of Israel. Looking back. Looking back, looking back. And we are not to look back this morning. Folks, in what God has done, you don't camp there. Look at me in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, from verse 27. But I tell you that there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment was white and glistening. Behold, there talked to them two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. Notice verse 33. It came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elias. Well, he didn't know what he was saying. He really didn't know what he was saying. You see, he so enjoyed the experience that he wanted to stay there. I hear folks testify, and you know what they're talking about? 10 years ago, the experience that they had with God. Beloved brethren, that's a problem. They camped at that experience. They made a tabernacle at that experience. And since then, they have not gone out.
You could have had a glorious experience with God at one time. That experience is not a stopping point. It's not an end. It's simply a means to an end. And after you've had that experience, the word of God is still, let us go on. Amen. Let us go on. I told you last night, and it's a word that the Lord has been speaking in my heart, that there's always more for me in God. Amen. The greatest thing I could think about, God still has more. Don't form a camp around today's mountaintop experiences. No, no, no. But let it be a stepping stone. Deep calleth unto deep. Amen. And the deeper you go in God, is the deeper you can yet go. The more you grow in God, the more you can grow. Let us go on. That's the word of the Lord. I believe, as Christians, we are conditioned. If any of you ever took any psychology courses, I'm sure you studied about conditioning. You remember Pavlov's dog? Got the dog, you rang a bell, and when the bell rang, food came down, and that dog would salivate. The dog got so accustomed to that, all you had to do was ring the bell, and the dog would salivate. You got conditioned Christians. We have developed such spiritual, rather not spiritual, such religious systems, such religious camps, so to speak, that God could leave those camps and go on. And we'd never notice his absence. It's true, folks. We have put God so into a box that God could go on past that. And we'd still be there in a box without God. I remember once I was ministering in a house meeting. And somebody there needed ministry and deliverance. And immediately somebody got a chair and stuck it in the center of the room. And you know, there was something within me that just immediately rose up. Because I guess they were taught that if somebody needs deliverance, you put a chair in the center of the room and lay hands all over them. Well, there were some of us there who immediately, when they did that, said, no way. That's not what God is saying. I said, let us at this moment just stop. And I want you, just those of you around, just to worship the Lord. And the person who needs deliverance, I want you just to call upon the Lord. And they did that. And in a few minutes, that brother was completely delivered. Just totally delivered, while others were worshiping the Lord. Now, all right, since then, if somebody needs deliverance, that's the way to have deliverance. Is it? No, 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 no. No. Move with the Spirit. Do you remember? I don't know if any of you know the type of experience where you come to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They put you to kneel down in front there, and there were 10 people, 5 on either side. 5 saying, hold on, brother. 5 saying, let go, brother. They're shouting this air, they're shouting that air. But do you know the thing about it is, some people got filled that way. They say hallelujah faster and faster and faster. And you say hallelujah faster and faster until you trip over your tongue and you feel that way. And some people thought that was the way to get filled. Praise God, we have gone on beyond that. Amen? We have gone on beyond that. Let us go on. Now,
How do we get free from these religious traditions so that we can move as God is moving? How do we get the freedom? I say the first thing is submit your traditions to God. Amen. Submit your traditions to God. Now, what's a tradition? Really, the word simply means a thing handed down. Now, a tradition, and well, just for sake of what we're talking about here this morning, actually, a tradition is a practice handed down to you by your religious forerunners that could stand between you and what God is doing. It's something handed to you by your religious forerunners that could stand between you and what God is doing, that could hinder you from going on in God. Now, let me first of all say that not every tradition is bad. There's some traditions that are good. But part of our growth, our maturity in the Lord, must be to discern. Amen? Look at me in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, from verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now this is a day when God is sending forth strong meat. You are not ready for strong meat until you have learned to discern. To discern both good and evil. Until then, you're not ready. So discernment is one of the important things. Discerning between both good and evil. As I said, there are certain traditions which are good that we should hold on to. The traditions which we've been taught, which we see are in accordance with God's word. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. This is the letter of Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus to the church at Thessalonica. And this is what they told the brethren. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which we have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye have received from us. So now the traditions that we see to be clearly in accordance with God's word, those we hold on to. But now the word of God has also told us that in nothing should we go beyond what is written. I have a problem with people who tell me, you know, the Bible waving fundamentals, and they say, I believe the Bible. Actually, translated into proper interpretation, that is, I believe my interpretation of the Bible. Because there are many different denominations. And they all say, I believe the Bible. I am a fundamental. That is, I believe what I understand. I believe what I think the Bible says. I want to tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit has one doctrine. As hard as it is to understand and comprehend, the Holy Spirit only has one doctrine. He doesn't have 10 different doctrines on the same thing. He only speaks a certain way. And I know God's going to do it, but I think God has a great work to do to bring us into the unity of the faith. I really believe that. I can't do it. You can't do it. Nobody else can do it. Only God can. So now, here's where the problem is. Knowing the traditions to let go of. Can I tell you, beware of the tradition that says, because it worked then, or because it's working now, that means it's good. Amen? Because it's working, that's no proof that it's good. The example I just gave you of how folks are filled with the Holy Spirit, does that prove that it is good or that it is right? You know, the scripture says, at the times of their ignorance, God winked. And I love to interpret that humorously. God looked down and saw the foolishness that we were doing. He had to close his eyes. Really? But now he has commanded men everywhere to do what? To repent. That is, change your mind. And that's part of our growth in the Lord. Lay down these traditions, change our minds, and go as the Holy Spirit shows us. Now there was a tradition in the wilderness, the tradition of the serpent. Remember here in Numbers chapter 21, verses 5 to 9, the people were all bitten by serpents and they got sick. And God said, raise up a serpent, a brazen serpent, and put it there. And all those who were bitten, they look on that thing and they'd be healed. Would you believe that 900 years later, they were still worshiping the serpent? We read in 2 Kings 18, 18 and verse 4. 2 Kings 18, verse 4. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the gold. And break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. 900 years. And they're still worshiping, offering sacrifices to a serpent. God had moved on from there. But the people were still camped there. And it became a tradition. Folks, lay down the tradition. Lay down the things that you hold on to so closely. Because eventually it becomes an idol that stands between you and the moving of the Spirit of God. The movement of God. Let me point out to you another tradition. Remember the ark was in captivity. And all during Saul's lifetime, Saul continued his worship without the ark. He never thought to seek God for any guidance until almost at the end of his life. He sought God and he couldn't hear from God, so he went down to the witch at Endor. And the message he got then was just a message of his death. But then David came on the scene. And David's desire was to see the ark of God return to place. So David went down and he got the ark of God. And remember, the ark of God was coming back into Jerusalem. And David got carried away. And he danced in front of the ark. But David did a strange thing. He took the ark of God, and instead of building a temple for it, he put the ark in a tent. And anyone could, as it were, go into the tent and behold the manifest presence of God. David commissioned priests who'd come and night and day worship before the ark of God as it sat there in Mount Zion. I believe that which David did was a picture even of what God is doing in this age. Taking the ark out of its cloisters and putting it right there where all can enter before the presence of God and 24 hours a day minister unto God. Not just a Sunday morning religion. Not just a worship when you come to church. But 24 hours a day. But David passed off the scene. And Solomon came on. And Solomon reversed all that his father David did. He built a temple. And again, he put the ark back in the holy place. And he built a temple on Mount Moriah, back where it was. Now, I want to tell you this morning that Solomon was blessed of God when he built the temple and offered sacrifices to God. But then God began to speak of a thing that he wanted to do, to bring forth a new Zion, even as a picture of what David did right there on Mount Zion. Because, you see, I think to a great extent, what Solomon did was a retrogression, a going back to a tradition. Folks, God doesn't want anything of Mount Moriah. God doesn't want any of our traditions. He wants the openness that was on Mount Zion. You know the sound that says, "This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation." Psalm 132 in the beginning, he said, "Lord, you remember David in all of his affliction. I'll give no rest nor sleep to my eyes. I will not go up to my bed until I find out a place, a habitation for the Lord our God." That's what God... To tear down the traditions of men. To tear down the Mount Moriah. For I will tell you even why there was worship going on in Mount Zion. There are some people who still worship back on Mount Moriah. And the traditions that put God back in a cloister. The traditions that box God in. God is seeking to tear those down. And he wants to build a house where there's going to be praise unto him continually. That is what precisely the Spirit of God is saying in this age. Let us go on. Folks, I don't know about you, but in my heart I hear a tugging from the Holy Spirit, and he's seeking to draw us so we can run after him. Moving with God. I want to tell you that in the wilderness, when the cloud and the fire began to move, the people had to move too. And they moved. Lay down the tradition. Lay them all down. Don't hold anything so sacred that you can't touch it. Once I was going to fellowship with some people, and the first thing they did was put me sit down to find out what I believed before they accepted me. I knew that hurt God's heart. It hurt mine too, I'll tell you. Because they were letting their traditions stand there, even to hinder the purpose of God. I tell you, folks, as we gathered here together, let it be that you lay your heart bare before God. Lay yourself bare before God and say, "Lord, I permit you to invade the inner sanctum of my being, every cloister, every closet, and every skeleton that is there. Lord, I permit you to take it out. Until, Lord, there is no place, there is no door in my life that keeps you out. There is no place that you cannot enter and therein call me to run after you." God is moving ahead, beloved. God is going forward, I tell you this morning. God is saying, "Come on, people, let's go on." Even as God had ordered. I tell you also this morning that not just your traditions, but your theologies stand between you and going on in God. Oh, yes, they do. You see, there are two important words I want to mention to you. Obedience and submission. You know the word submission means? It's a Greek word that means to stand under, to rank under. Now, James chapter 4 and verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Beloved, God's people who are resisting the devil, and he does not budge. Amen. There are a lot of God's people who spend night and day fighting the devil, and he does not budge. You know why? Because we ranked ourselves above God. There is no submission, no ranking ourselves under God. You know, that's involved in laying everything there before God too. But Lord, everything comes under you. Every single thing. You know, I enjoy the verse in Psalm 91. He that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty, ranking under God. Amen. Ranking on. You know, he talks about a Passover. He'll form a Passover you. He'll form a covering over you. But when the death angel passes by, he can't touch you. God is your Passover. And you're ranking under God. You're submitted to God. And that's what God is saying, folks. That when you rank under God, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's also the word obedience. And the word obedience is a word that loosely translated, it means to come under hearing. That's what it means. To come under hearing. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. In other words, you submit yourself to God so God by his Holy Spirit can speak to you and you'll hear. And that involves an action, folks. Involves an action. For the Word of God says, when God hears, he'll answer. And a true hearing within us involves a response to God. That in our spirit we say, yes, God. Yes, God, you said it. I'm going to do it. That's obedience. That's obedience to God. To do as he has commanded. Not what I wish to be or where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord shall choose for me. That's better far I know whether he bids me go or stay. And our theology so often stand between us and God. Now, obedience is doing. Having heard, then you do. Now, folks, the Word of God says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. Pray hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, how do you receive that perfect love? Whence does it come? First John chapter 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth, notice that. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Whence comes the perfect love? Whoso keepeth his word. And now there are many people who want to sit and say, God, I have to know before I do. And you're waiting on God to know, to know, to know. Well, the scripture says differently. Look at me in John chapter 7 and verse 17. John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Your knowing more comes with your doing now, that which you know. And I'll point that out to you again later. You see, one of the things that would stand between you and you moving forward in God is a theological predisposition. You got a certain thing that you're holding on to. It was interesting once I was showing someone something in the scripture, and her blunt response was,
I don't see it. Because my church doesn't believe that. Another young lady, and praise the Lord, she's been delivered from that. But right next to a certain scripture in her Bible, she had written this word. Unscriptural. The church taught her that that was unscriptural. Praise the Lord, she's delivered from that now. You know, and if you went through some of the problems I went through, where you went to the seminary, you found yourself weighed down with a whole lot of doctrines and theologies. And afterwards, God had to spend as much time getting those things out of me. You know something? Let me recommend to you people, for a while, lay down all your theologies and start with the Bible. And you'd be surprised how many things change. Amen. That's what I discovered. Because suddenly I read it and I saw what it said. And I say, well, they didn't teach me that. They taught me the opposite. Now, whom am I going to believe? What they told me or what he says? Believe the word of God. Amen. If the Holy Spirit seeks to change you in a certain area, even though it's something that you didn't believe before, say, God, well, I guess that goes. I saw in a book a certain picture of a vision that the Lord had given a lady. And she had drawn this thing that she saw, and it was a picture of a demon spirit. And he was carrying under his arm a book. And on the book was written this, the doctrines of the Bible. The doctrines of the Bible. Do you know the scripture talks about doctrines of devils? And there's some people who have those doctrines of devils that they support out of the scripture. Lay them out before God. And as you hear what he's saying, he's going to change those things. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. So that you can move forward in God. There has to be a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit so he can move you. You know, don't be so rigid that God couldn't change you. Really. Allow God his freedom, folks. He's going to change you. And he's... bless God, because the thing is, when you come to the potter's house, you know the first thing the potter does to that vessel that was made? He breaks it up. That's what he does. He takes that vessel and he breaks it up. But bless God, after that, he makes it again another vessel that is fit for the master's use. Bless God. Let me sound good news to you. If God hasn't yet begun, he is going to start breaking you up. You can say amen. It's going to happen. He is going to start breaking you up so he can make you again a vessel that pleases him. Praise the Lord. Well, how much time do you have? All right. Brother said a week. How many of you know also that God is moving in revelation truths? There is a progression, restoration that God is doing in this day. You know, if you study the feasts of the Lord in the Old Testament, you'll see in them a picture of the restoration God is accomplishing in the earth. Now, you know the seven feasts of God? First of all, there's the Feast of Passover. The Feast of Passover included the Passover, the unleavened bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. Now, God, in his progressive restoration of the church in these days, he's been doing the same thing. There came a time when the doctrine was justification by faith. It was that God raised up in the midst of his body. Secondly, there was unleavened bread. Where the word that was coming from God was holiness. That's when all the holiness groups sprung up. Then there was the Feast of First Fruits. Coming forth into new, all that came through. But then after that, the second feast period is the Feast of Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost was just the restoration of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now that began to a great extent at the beginning of this century, and in the last 15, 20 years, we have seen it happen some more. But folks, hear me. Don't you camp there. Don't you camp there. You see, I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are not an end. They are means to an end. Amen? They are means to an end. The gifts of the Holy Spirit himself, it's just a down payment. Don't hold on to the down payment. You hear me? Go for the whole thing. Amen. And let the Holy Spirit bring you into the fullness of God. As I said last night, you know, that you may increase with all the increase of God, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And I think we are in the third feast period now. And in the third feast period, we have the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. You know what the Feast of Trumpets is? The sounding forth of the word. You read that in the book of Joel, and you notice how many times it talks about the trumpet sounding forth. Praise God in this day. He's raising up a certain... The word of God is breaking forth in places where it has not broken forth before. Hallelujah. Amen. And the word of God is just being brought forth in a new way. We are in this period in God. We are in this period now where that word is coming forth. But still, let us go on. Let us move with God. Amen. Let's move with God, because God beyond that wants to bring us to the point of atonement. Split the word up and see what it is. At one ment. Amen? At one ment. Now, I'm not talking about the new charismatic denomination. No. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit taking one of a family, two of a family, and bringing them together in the Spirit. And that's what God wants to do. God is moving. That's the direction. God is pouring out the Spirit there and everywhere. And God is calling the people out for his name's sake. Let us move with God. And bless God, he's doing it. And he's doing it. I want to praise him for that. Let me just deal with one last area, and I'm going to stop. The third, you have to know or submit yourself to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Now the word of God says in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every gushing or by every word, by every rhema that proceedeth from the mouth of God. It did not say that proceeded past. It's the present continuous tense that continues to proceed from the mouth of God. That's how you live. That's exactly how you live. By that continuing live word of God. You want to know what brings faith? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing comes by what? By the rhema of God. By that which proceedeth from the mouth of God. Is God speaking today? I mentioned to you last night the fact that the Holy Spirit comes back and tells us what's being spoken of in heaven. Let me just read a verse here from John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and sheweth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater things that he may marvel. Now, I believe that God has shown the man Christ Jesus many things. And I believe he's showing him greater things yet. You know for what purpose? For our benefit. And that is precisely what the Holy Spirit says. What he hears and comes back and says to us. All the things of the Father he's showing to the Son. And I want to tell you folks, I think that's a blessed privilege. Father, draw me, and we'll run after thee. You know something? God is doing a new thing. I like the word of God that says, behold, the former things have come to pass. Read it in Isaiah 42. And new things do I declare. Do you know something? I can't fully put into words that which that new thing is. Because I don't think we have the full understanding of it. For it's more than we thought. But praise God, he is doing a new thing. Let me just read this passage, Isaiah 43. As you folks say, Isaiah 43, from verse 8. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes. You know any of those? Bring forth the blind people that have eyes. And the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. And let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this? And show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses. That they may be justified. Or let them hear and say that it is true. Verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And my servant whom I have chosen. That you may know. That you may believe. And that you may understand. That I am he. And I want you to note those words. Know, that is knowing by experience. That you may believe, that you may understand that I am he. Before me there was no God, neither shall there be after me. Verse 13. Yea, after the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out. And would you please underline in your Bible the next statement? I will work. And who shall hinder it? Do you know what God is saying? That he is going to work. If you don't get in on it, he's going to work just the same. But he'll pass you up. I will work. Who's going to stop it? Not a single man can stop it. Verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. And I like the next three-letter word. You know what the next word says? What's the next word? Behold, I will do a new thing. When? Now it shall spring forth. Now it shall spring forth. Tell me something. Has the Holy Spirit made that word a reality to you? Has the Holy Spirit made that word, that three-letter word, a reality to you? When is the purpose of God going to spring forth? Now, listen, repeat this verse to me. That verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Let's say it again. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Let me ask you to do this. As you're walking around the campus, as you're walking around the campground, every once in a while you repeat that. Behold, I will do a new thing now. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Amen? And listen, I believe that with every fiber of my being. I'm not waiting until 10 years from now. It's now. This is the people that I formed for my praise. Shall ye not know it, Rama? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragon and the owl. Because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. To give drink to my people, my chosen ones. This is the people that I've formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Now Habakkuk said, the vision is for an appointed time. Though it tarry, what's going to happen? Huh? Somebody was saying it. When was the vision for? Right now. Without a vision, the people. Lord, open my eyes. Bring all the blind ones. Bring all those who have eyes and don't see. Let the Holy Spirit open their eyes to hear. And let me just read Songs of Solomon, chapter 1 again, those first four verses. And then I'll stop. I promise you I will. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his vow. For thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We'll be glad and rejoice in thee. We remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, wouldst thou draw us this day? We will indeed run after thee. We will forget the things which are behind and run this race. Patience looking unto Jesus, who himself is our example, and who is the author and the finisher of our faith. May God cause a new boldness, a new fervor, a new vigor to be born in the hearts of your people, that indeed we may see where you're moving and follow as you move. And cause that to become, Lord, a tangible reality in the hearts of these your people. May your word be bound to their hearts. May it follow us, Lord. Even this day, may your word follow us, quickening in our hearts a new expectancy as we see what you're doing, as we see how you're moving. And Lord, to thy name be all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. Both now and forevermore, praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory unto him. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty. Let's stand and sing that, please. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.